Just in time for Reformation Day, Concordia Publishing House has a new graphic novel titled Luther, Echoes of the Hammer. This Luther biography is written and illustrated in a fun, comfortable format. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Or you can purchase Luther, Echoes of the Hammer by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. This new Reformation resource costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. Luther, Echoes of the Hammer, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October.
Pastor Nardacani has done nothing more than maintain his devout faith, which is a universal right for all people. That the Iranian authorities would try to force him to renounce that faith violates the religious values they claim to defend.
To the Muslims in America, I have this to say. How can your conscience allow you to live in peaceful coexistence with a nation that is responsible for the tyranny and crimes committed against your own brothers and sisters?
A production company contacted us and asked if they could do a documentary about our family. And so we prayed about that and we thought, Lord, is this something that you're opening up as an opportunity to share with the world that children are a blessing and a gift from God?
Moms in Ohio love Issues, etc.
Well, there's I don't think an hour or the better part of an hour on this Friday is going to be enough time to cover everything. Just things just keep coming up to talk about on Friday. We had a visitor here this week that we need to address. He was very kind in sending us some pictures, a lot of pictures from his visit here earlier this week. I understand just before we came on the air that out there in the control room, I can't smell it because I'm in kind of a hermetically sealed environment in here. I can only see what's going on out there. I can't smell it, but I understand that Craig has decided, after months of complaining about the kind of air freshener we use around here, and believe me, we need air freshener at the LPR studio, he's decided to break down, actually spray some out there. Jeff came out and was pleasantly surprised. The smell of cinnamon and honey and the lilacs or whatever it is that's out there. It's also been a pretty difficult 2 weeks here. We've had some technical problems that we're still trying to resolve here at Issues, etc. So special thanks to some of the people who've been helping us out over the last 10 days or so with our technical troubles. Hopefully the listeners are none the wiser to any of those things. Listener email to respond to and the comment line as well. On this Friday afternoon, October the 7th, I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. This is Issues, etc. We'll do regular Friday fare for the first 45 minutes or so. We'll pick Issues, etc. blog of the week, and then in the second hour of the program, we'll be talking with Dr. Matt Phillips, starting a series with him on the Great Schism of 1054. Of course, it starts well before 1054. We'll get some of the prelude to the schism with him in that first part of our series with him. Dr. Jonathan Witt will be our guest to round off the program. Charles Darwin tried to explain a lot of things. One of the things he did not satisfactorily explain is beauty. And I'm not asking a question about metaphysics or beauty in the eye of the beholder, but the fact that, well, at least according to Darwin, natural selection seems to favor beauty over non-beauty. In fact, extravagant beauty, but he doesn't have a rational explanation for why. We'll talk about that in the last half hour of Issues, Etc. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. Visit our Facebook fan page. We just crossed 6,000 fans there. Facebook.com/IssuesETC. Or you can give us a call, send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. I'm just frazzled, mostly by the fact that the Craig sprayed the, what is it? It's vanilla?
It is Febreze, lavender, vanilla, and, yes indeed, comfort.
And comfort. And yes. And Jeff came out there. I was not out there. I'm usually the one spraying that stuff around here. Every time I do, Craig will pull up his T-shirt over his face in sort of a makeshift gas mask to shield his olfactory senses from anything even remotely sweet.
That stuff is pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
And you sprayed it before we came on here.
You know what? I had a week's worth of trash in my bucket up here, and I finally changed it, and remnants of the trash were hanging around. So the Febreze, I needed to be comforted. And it was, and you know, it took away the trash smell. So, yeah, I don't spray that stuff very often.
You were a desperate man.
Yeah, yes, I was. Yeah,
because ordinarily Craig would just say, What's a little stink? What's a little garbage smell?
Come on.
It's a little bit like the front door at LPR. The lock, now, if you put your key in, you're lucky if you get your key out. And then turning the lock is a whole other matter. Craig has insisted for probably the better part of a year and a half that there's nothing wrong with the lock. It's the key that's the problem. Now, he used to only do it to me, and then now he does it to Jeff. And both Jeff and I got our keys stuck in the lock today. Well, Craig still maintains the lock's fine. Just needs a little 3-in-1 oil, a little jiggling here and there. Those keys are the problem. The lock is fine.
Just got an instant message from Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Lavender vanilla, is that estrogen-scented Febreze? Dude, you need to hand over your man card."
That's directed to Craig.
Craig,
I take it.
Calling, yeah. By the way, Chris is one of those people that helped us out and continues to help us out with Todd's MacBook Pro crashed on him. And so Chris has been extremely helpful, along with Ryan Markle with WordPress.
And it's been kind of an avalanche of attendant problems yesterday. Then we also had some internet problems. And this show runs, at least in part, on the internet. So we were very concerned about that, making phone calls all day long. And Chris, you're right, Chris and Ryan Markle have both been very helpful behind the scenes, helping us sort out all our problems. Because none of us here understand anything about computers or IT. We just fake our way through every day, like most people do. And when we run into these kind of problems, we need expert help.
Did you take note that Craig said that he took his trash out, Todd?
I did, because I don't think I have. I know I've never taken the trash out here. And I don't think Craig has either. Did he take it out or just take it back to your office?
No, unlike other colleagues here at LPR, he actually went outside and put it in the dumpster.
But you know the difference is, I don't put a bunch of stuff in my garbage that attracts fruit flies and emits odors. My garbage is almost entirely empty water bottles and paper. That's it. I don't have banana peels. Craig has like orange peels. He's got, if he has any of his fine fruits he brings, there's all sorts of things Craig's got. Plus his Craig's lunchbox is actually a paper plate. Sometimes it's covered, sometimes it isn't. But every day he brings in a new thin paper plate with his lunch on it. He heats it up, and I'm sure those paper plates make up a majority, soaked with grease and all the other remnants of his food. I think they make up a majority of the trash out there too. So I will admit, never taken the trash out farther than your office, but my trash is of a different nature than that of Craig's.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, by the way, a very special guest this week, a man we refer to around here as MPO.
MPO. Who is that?
Michael Patrick O'Connor of Maryland. Great guy. He spent like the whole day with us around here, and I wanted to minimize him and put him on my shoulder because he laughed at everything I said. Everything. You don't. Craig doesn't.
No,
but I was definitely feeling the love from MPO.
We stopped laughing at your jokes years ago, and there was Michael Patrick O'Connor back in Jeff's office, and Jeff was telling all the old ones. He was pulling out the ones that we haven't laughed at for years, and he was back there doing regular stand-up. It was something else. He was in his heyday. What else was I going to say about Michael Patrick O'Connor?
Well, where do you begin? You know what I love about MPO? He has truly embraced his inner geekness, and he's proud of it.
It's not an inner geekness. I mean, for people like me, it may be an inner geekness. For MPO, it's an outer geekness, and he's proud of it. He is out and proud when it comes to being a geek. He told us so. He's even designed a geek flag, hasn't he? He said he wanted to put the Linux. People don't think I was listening, but I was listening. He said he wanted to put the Linux operating system Penguin on a flag, and that would be the geek flag. But proud, along with the who did he tag as a fellow geek?
Daniel Berquist.
Yeah, Daniel Berquist, who's also been of tremendous help to us in the past with regard to technical issues. IT department, the unofficial IT department here at LPR, is as big as the regular staff.
That's true.
It's
bigger.
It's bigger. It's bigger.
You throw Chris Roseborough in, it's bigger.
Yeah, that's true.
Ryan Markle, MPO, Daniel Berquist, and Chris Roseborough.
Bigger than our legal staff, that's for sure.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So would you like to get some email before we take our first break?
Sure. Let's toss one in here.
Charles from Accident, Maryland. I really enjoyed your interview about time in the Bible with Dr. Andrew Steinman. I was also very glad that you asked him why he starts the book with Abraham instead of discussing his timeline beginning with Genesis 1 through 11. What I was less excited about was his answer. Dr. Steinman said that since it is common in the Bible to skip generations and genealogies to make theological points, we can't be sure that that didn't happen in Genesis 1 to 11. He also seemed to suggest that the long ages in the genealogy suggest that there are gaps. I've heard this approach before and have never found it to be satisfying. I'll give you just a couple of reasons. First, since the Hebrew word Av means both father and ancestor, there can easily be gaps in the genealogies without the chronological data being compromised. Here's one arbitrary example of this. Genesis 5 verses 18 to 19 reads, "When Jared had lived 162 years, he became the ancestor of Enoch. Jared lived after he became the ancestors of Enoch 800 years and had other sons and daughters." Even if Jared is literally Enoch's grandfather and not his father, the passage still indicates that Jared was 162 years old when Enoch was born. Since the genealogies are very careful in keeping the dates connected, there can be as many gaps in the genealogies as you want without the chronology being compromised in any way. The second thing that troubles me is the sense that since people live an extraordinarily long time, we have to find some way to explain it away. Why? Why could God not grant long life to the patriarchs? Answer, he could. He is, after all, God. I have discussed this issue with a number of Old Testament scholars and have never received a satisfying answer to any of these questions. I was sad that I didn't receive one from Dr. Steinman either. Thanks for the email, Charles in Maryland.
Well, Charles, the fault may be mine because, and part of it is due to time, in that series that we're doing on biblical chronology with Dr. Andrew Steinman, I probably should have followed up with another question, something of the nature of the one that you pose in your email. Now, I will say, in defense of Dr. Steinman, he is not interested at all in explaining away any of the immensely long lifespans recorded prior to Abraham. He's not interested in explaining that away at all. I am rock solid certain he may not have an explanation for them, but he certainly believes that they are just as they are recorded. We'll be right back.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church. We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, etc.
At steadfastlutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. steadfastlutherans.org.
If Issues Etc. refuses to scratch your itchy ears and scratches your old scabs instead, and you love them for it, then Redeemer Lutheran Church is the church in Fort Wayne for you. The only real difference between Issues Etc. and Redeemer is that Todd and Jeff only talk about Jesus. We talk about Jesus, but we also put him into people's mouths. We drive off demons with water. We are the church, and yes, we serve Jell-O in the basement.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. A little bit later, Issues Etc. Blog of the Week in Hour 2. We'll be talking about the Great Schism, starting a four-part series on that 1054 event that actually began long before that. Dr. Matt Phillips will be our guest. Then Dr. Jonathan Witt will join us from the Discovery Institute to talk about Charles Darwin's ultimate rejection of anything beautiful and his failure to be able to explain how it fits within his theory of evolution. That's the second hour of Issues Etc. One more thing to note about our conversations with Dr. Andrew Steinman on biblical chronology. The research that he has done here, folks, this is really valuable listening for everybody, because the research he has done here is not some kind of casual, I want to do a timeline of the Bible kind of stuff. This is about as deep as it goes. The book that we're working from is his new book called From Abraham to Paul, A Biblical Chronology, which is very, very extensively researched. I mean, he's looking for as close as he can get to an absolute chronology, in particular of the Old Testament. And I think that's another reason why he begins with Abraham rather than with Adam, because his goal is an absolute chronology, the way we reckon years according to the AD BC calendar. And that's something he cannot necessarily deliver on in the same way he can with the post-Abraham events of the Bible, not necessarily deliver on those pre-Abraham. Not because it didn't happen, not because it didn't happen the way the Bible said it happened, but simply because he's aiming at an absolute chronology down to the year, as close as you can get. And that's far more difficult to do. I think he said in our conversation that would be an entire other book if he was going to attempt to do that. And it was a big enough chunk with what now probably close to 500 pages of the research that he's done on a biblical chronology in his latest book. Here's some criticism from Monday's interview with Pastor Brent Kuhlman about the teachings and practices of Mormonism.
I'm just calling to share my disappointment in a recent segment, The Teachings and Practices of Mormonism. I was really looking forward to that segment, but as it went on, Pastor Coleman's condescension was just dripping from his voice for the things that Mormons believe. I don't disagree with what he said at all, but the way he said it, I think it really served to probably drive a lot of people away. I'm a Lutheran who lives in Utah, and I have had occasion to bring my Mormon friends to church. And there have been times in Bible class when somebody would kind of react that way, the Mormons believe this, and go off on it. And, all it did was serve to drive my Mormon friends right away and push them further away from the gospel. And I think that's something to be very careful of. And I appreciate, Todd, you tried to salvage it at the end when you said, what would you say to any Mormon friends who might be listening right now? I appreciate that, but I think, it could have been too late, because it's quite possible that any LDS people who had been listening had turned off by that point. So, anyway, that's just my point of view on it. Thank you for all you do.
Well, I wasn't trying to salvage anything, because I didn't think anything needed to be salvaged in the interview, to tell you the truth. I don't want you to misunderstand the purpose of that conversation. We're basing that conversation on a Higher Things presentation that Pastor Kuhlman did. This was for youth, and trying to explain to them in a time when, I think we all have to admit, in a time when Mormonism is being sold to us, not only by the LDS, but by the culture in general, as just a different version of Christianity. And the main point that I took away from my conversation with Pastor Kuhlman was that if Mormonism is anything, it isn't Christian. Now, you said it yourself. You didn't agree with anything he said, but it was how he said it. Now, sometimes, especially given the fact that a lot of Mormons actually don't know what it is their church teaches, sometimes I think a little shock to the system might be helpful. But I think in the context of a culture that is saying through our political figures, our media figures, Mormon is kind of, it's a Christian denomination. Indistinguishable. And when the Mormons are trying to sell us that very idea themselves, actively trying to sell that idea, kind of flippantly saying, I'm this, I'm that, and I'm a Mormon, in the same way you'd say, I'm this, I'm that, and I'm a Lutheran, when there are two very different things, I think sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes we need that kind of frank conversation about what Mormons really do teach. By the way, our Issues Etc. comment line for criticism, questions, comments, show suggestions, 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384.
Steve in Massachusetts writes, I really enjoy your programs and try to listen to them all. I find them to be fair and often enlightening. One complaint I do have, though, is the criticism of evangelical Protestants, not so much by you guys, but by some of your guests. You repeated a Mike Horton interview the other day on evangelicalism. That many evangelicals are theologically confused and that some of their ministers, like Osteen and his ilk, are just con men, I readily agree. Indeed, as a Catholic, I find a lot of Protestants theologically challenged, pretty much the same proportion as my fellow Roman Catholics. But I have found many evangelicals to be truly admirable Christians, in spite of their lack of a coherent theology. Reformed theology is certainly coherent, but the contention that God condemned maybe the majority of mankind to eternal damnation is a vile blasphemy. Give me an evangelical anytime, concludes Steve in Massachusetts.
Well, what we criticize in evangelicalism, and we've had our fair share of criticism for Calvinism and Reformed theology as well, as often as the opportunity arises. But what we're criticizing in evangelicalism is its lack of a coherent theology. We're not criticizing evangelicals, but the system, the theological system that they have adopted. So the fact that many evangelicals are upstanding, fine Christians is, I'm not trying to sound flippant here, but it's irrelevant to whether or not their theology holds water, whether the theology bears any resemblance to what Scripture teaches. They may well be fine Christians. Exactly the same criteria is used when we would evaluate, as we are going to be evaluating coming up during Issues Etc. Reformation Week, various other confessions of faith in contrast to Lutheranism. We're going to be doing that because we're trying to show that these other confessions of faith deviate from Scripture in significant ways. Part of the problem with evangelicalism is it doesn't pay a lot of attention to Scripture, except as a moral manual for life. The actual doctrines, the teachings, teaching them to observe all whatsoever I have commanded you, is not of real interest to evangelicalism nowadays. The Bible is a moral manual for life, by and large. So, what we are criticizing is the theology of evangelicalism, not evangelicals. So please be quite clear on that. And I agree with you. The danger of teaching a limited atonement or a double predestination is as dangerous as having no particular view on that, which is probably where most evangelicals come down. What's the answer? The answer isn't to say, well, I'll take a Calvinist or someone who's Reformed or an evangelical over someone who is a Calvinist. That's not the answer. The answer is the truth. You don't counter one error with another error. You don't counter a vacuous theology with a false theology. You counter a vacuous and a false theology with what Scripture teaches, the truth.
Pastor Carl Gregory just posted on our Facebook page, facebook.com/issuesetc. And here I thought pizza was the best air freshener. Now there's a man for you. That was Craig. That was Craig before. What we're witnessing is the slow emasculation of Craig.
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, I think we're watching something's happening here because I think Craig would have done that. I think if Craig would have had a garbage smell in the control room maybe a year ago, he would have just called up Pizza World and taken care of it. Bring a pizza in, open the box, problem solved.
Here's the irony. This is an historic issue. He would frequently criticize you for using the Febreze.
He would put a shirt up over his face and his makeshift gas mask.
He would sit outside your door and like hold up his shirt.
He would moan,
smell. I walk out here before showtime and it smells like Febreze. And I'm like, did Wilkin just go like overboard? The fumes are coming through here? But no. It was Craig.
So,
Craig, pizza, Craig.
Something's happening. I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. I don't know where it's going. Well, actually, I think I do know where it's going, but Craig is still in denial about that particular ongoing conversation here at LPR. So, who knows? I mean, the Craig you knew yesterday might not be the Craig you know tomorrow. Every time he walks in that door, you know, the door with the lock, that the lock is fine, the keys don't work. Every time he walks in the door, it's a different Craig. It's like the Greek philosopher once said, Heraclitus said, you can't put your foot in the same river twice. You can't meet the same Craig twice. He's an ever-evolving, changing, dynamic force in an otherwise static universe. It's amazing.
But there still is hope, because MPO is still the constant. He's a true constant man who never changes.
You know, that's true. You meet people in your life, and when you meet them when they're 20 years old, and then you meet them later when they're 40 years old, they're the same person. They're like an anchor in society. I used to think that about Craig, and I don't know anymore with this Febreze thing having happened today. It's really thrown me for a loop. But you're right, MPO, Michael Patrick O'Connor, he's one of those anchors, the same yesterday, today, for the rest of his life. I think that's why Jeff has, you know, since Michael left at the beginning of the week, Jeff hasn't stopped talking about him, really. I mean, if I didn't know better, I'd say man crush, but... We'll see. More email, comment line after this. Vacation's never been as easy as today. And it would make me happy when you've gone so far away. You sent me an email that says I love you. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York. Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama. Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin. And St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org and click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
I've noticed when women write about a positive abortion experience on the internet, they go to great lengths, persuading themselves and the reader their decision was the right one. Recently, Anne Kingsley wrote about having a young daughter and opting for abortion. She wrote, "Aborting my child made me a better mother." I feel a great deal of compassion for Anne, but I'm not buying this better mother facade. She willfully ended the life of her unborn child, not even considering adoption. This baby won't keep her awake at night, yet. Right now, she feels relief, but that won't last. I've spoken to too many women who chose abortion. This Pollyanna outlook will turn into heartbreak when memories come back to haunt. We need to keep all post-abortive women in prayer.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Hello. Is it me you're looking for?
A special thanks to Philip Young, who is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Nashville, Tennessee, along with that congregation there in Nashville, for being part of the Issues Etc. 300. This is budget time for many congregations. They're trying to decide what to leave in, what to leave out. When it comes to budgetary matters, we are asking that you include Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget as your congregation plans and finalizes those financial decisions. And all it means is $1,000 a year from your congregation. Your congregation is part of the Issues Etc. 300. It's a congregational sponsorship program. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support, and you'll find there a flyer that you can print off. It'll tell you everything you need to know and what your congregation needs to know about joining the Issues Etc. 300. And while I'm dutifully going about all the formatics of the program, doing my plug for the Issues Etc. 300, as instructed by my producer, he's in there. I don't know what you slap fighting in there. What are you guys doing? He's trying to distract me?
He's actually trying to pillow fight with me.
Okay.
With the couch pillows. I don't have a pillow, but he was just in pillow fighting because I was during the break I was spraying Febreze all around his body.
Okay. Now see, I come up with something here. You know that commercial with the little
Wait a minute. I don't mean to interrupt, but no, I'm not pillow fighting Jeff, okay? I don't want to give that type of image to the listener. That's right. I'm a little sensitive about this particular thing, Jeff. That's right. No, no pillow fighting going on out here. I'm using the pillow to disseminate
the
smell
diffuse the smell.
Because now it smells awful out here, okay? Before it was just enough so that the trash smell was gone. Now it's entirely too much. There's enough of that spray in here for like four offices.
Vanilla, lavender, comfort.
Yeah, so while I was using the pillow, Jeff all did right. get hit once or twice, but it wasn't a pillow fight, okay?
Okay, I was going to say, it struck me during the break, while I was in here preparing and you guys were out there pillow fighting, it struck me that what Craig is, you know that little bear in the Snuggle commercial for the fabric softener? You know the little bear that
he's
in
cute,
your laundry?
Cute,
yeah,
cuddly.
Snuggles or whatever his name. Yeah. It's Craig. That's what we're happening here. It's Craig Snuggles fighting her. It's a new good middle name for him. He smells good. He's soft.
You know what? Yeah. We're going to know that this transformation is complete when he goes to the bathroom and the toilet seat is down, left down.
We don't know that hasn't already happened.
Oh,
because he'll announce when it is. We'll have a guest and someone will go in there, ignorant of our policy about the toilet seat. They will leave the toilet seat down. And Craig will always be the first one to check. Whenever anyone leaves, he runs back there at top speed to check and see if it's up or down. And then he'll tell us, he'll give us a status update. So we don't know. We honestly don't know. This could be like the coffee incident where he's blaming the guests in our studio for having left the
I just camp out in front of the bathroom door waiting for it to be open to see if the seat is down. You're
Craig,
right.
Craig, I'm going to even things out in there. All I'm asking people, I'm not going to tell you what you'll find.
You know what? I'm not going to do that anymore. You know, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to install a camera in the bathroom.
I don't think
so. I could sit up here at my office and just watch the toilets.
I don't think that's right. That doesn't sound right. I'm going to throw one to Craig.
Don't.
I'm not going to tell people what they'll find. I'm just going to say the words Edwardsville and Superfan might. I don't know if you entered them at the search engine at YouTube, for instance. You know, one of those video sites. You might find something interesting this evening to entertain yourselves in the wee hours. You might. I'm not promising you anything. But I'm just saying, Edwardsville, super fan. Look carefully through the things that YouTube or whatever video channel you're on. Just look carefully. Look for one with like 2,900, 3,000 hits. You'll find what you're looking for.
Hey,
that's all I'm going to say.
I think we should title this segment today's show "Dedication to MPO," Michael Patrick O'Connor, because he told us his favorite segments is the inane banter that we do during listener email and issues, etc. comment line.
Which no one, I mean, how many listeners, maybe one or two, prefer
my mom.
Prefer this, yes.
Todd writes, I was listening to your interview with Pastor Mark Jasa when at about the 25-minute mark, something caught my attention. He was telling the story of a discussion he had with a student, and the pastor told him his sins were forgiven. The student said he did not need to be forgiven, and Pastor Jason said, too late, they already are forgiven. There was not talk of this person being Christian, and he was unrepentant, thinking he did not need to be forgiven. How then could this pastor proclaim him forgiven? Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening, Todd.
Well, because in Christ, the sins of the world have been atoned for and have been forgiven. Forgiveness is not a prospect waiting for some assent on our part. Forgiveness is a fact. It is established with the shed blood of Christ at the cross. It is a done deal. It is finished, and it does not await any assent or even repentance on our part. All repentance is a recognition of our need for the forgiveness that is already there for us. You say, well, if everyone is forgiven, why isn't everyone saved? Because the unrepentant or those who reject Christ reject this forgiveness. It can be rejected. There's nothing we can do to bring it to us, but it can be rejected. And I know that this kind of boggles the mind, but every last person who will languish for eternity in hell, every last human being who will languish for eternity in hell, has had their sins paid for. Has had their sins forgiven. The forgiveness is an accomplished fact. But they decided in hard-heartedness, in spite of the Holy Spirit's efforts to bring them to faith in Jesus Christ, that they didn't need it. But I think it's entirely appropriate to say to someone who says, well, I don't need to be forgiven. What are you telling me about Jesus? I think it is appropriate to say to them, too late, he already did it. It's already been done. It's an accomplished fact. The only person who seems ignorant of it is you. Lest we think that forgiveness, that God waits to forgive until we repent. What a terrible world that, what a terrible God that would be. Because then you'd be constantly in doubt as to whether or not you have repented enough to get enough forgiveness or repented for everything that you should repent for. No, we do not repent so that God will forgive us. We repent because he has forgiven us. There's a big difference there. You won't find that teaching in Roman Catholicism or even in American evangelicalism. They both still operate with the notion that God only forgives so much as you repent. But if that were the case, none of us could have any certainty of forgiveness here or eternal life hereafter, because our ability to repent, our capacity to repent, is simply not sufficient. God does not forgive because we repent or because we want it. He forgives. We want it and we repent because he has already forgiven us in Jesus Christ.
This comes from Corey. He says, hey guys, I found your show through an iTunes suggestion. I love the Pastor's Roundtable segments, and a few days ago, the archived episodes on iTunes were reduced significantly. I've tried to find the Pastor's Roundtable in the archives on the website, but only turned up a couple. Is there anywhere where I can find the whole list, writes Corey?
It's actually two questions here. And I mentioned at the top of the hour that we've been undergoing some technical issues here at Issues, etc. Nothing debilitating, but just inconvenient for about the last 10 days. Instigated by the demise of my laptop, which was used to both store and publish the podcasts. Well, that required some workarounds, and in the process of doing the workaround, we decided that it was probably time for us to do what we had been putting off doing for 3 years and actually publish the podcast the easy and the right way. And one of the things that that allows us to do is to kind of narrow the window on iTunes of how many episodes the user on iTunes gets to see. And we've, in the process of making this transition, we have narrowed that window to about 3 months, about 300, well, is it about 300 episodes, maybe give or take a couple dozen there, a rolling window. That doesn't mean that the old episodes don't exist anymore. It just simply means that the iTunes users will only see that window of episodes if they want the others previous to that. They certainly can go to our website. They're all still there, all completely available. And the advantage of this is that, it has to do with how iTunes works, and I don't pretend to understand how it works. I just use it, and I just publish podcasts. But it has to do with the fact that the file that we were sending that iTunes uses to tell people what's available there was so big. It was inappropriately large, and it needed to be narrowed down. You know, the technical guys tell us it's still too much, but 3 months is about where we've landed. Anything to add to that, Jeff?
No, I'd like to get some feedback from listeners. You can send an email to talkback@issuesetc.org because we've left up the last 3 months at iTunes. Of course, all this audio is on our website, as you mentioned. If you go to issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand. We don't promote this enough, by the way, so here it is. Upper right-hand corner is a Google search engine. In the case of this listener, type in Pastor's Roundtable, and you'll get all the Pastor's Roundtables. We'll pull up for you there. So, and the other thing about your Mac crashing, less people think we don't have a backup, and we've got all our audio on several
hard
drives.
It was just inconvenient.
Like that.
It wasn't debilitating.
Exactly. But yeah, that search engine, it's really very helpful. I use it all the time. Issuesetc.org, Listen on Demand, upper right-hand corner, towards the right-hand corner, is the Google search engine.
And you may notice that the website actually looks a little bit different. The Listen on Demand part of the website looks a little bit different, and we're still tweaking some of that, so be patient with us. Remember, we're not experts in all of this, We know what we're doing when it comes to radio, but when it comes to actually making websites look and behave conveniently, we have to learn from others and have to depend on others. But it's changed a little bit the way it looks, but the functionality of the website should be exactly the same. If you don't like the way it looks, you might wait because we might find a better way of configuring it. But so far, so good. Just made a few changes that hopefully won't inconvenience the listeners one little bit. When we come back, a little more email, comment line, then we'll pick issues, etc., blog of the week. Oh, yes, deliver the letter, the sooner the better. You gotta wait a minute, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, wait a minute, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, you gotta wait a minute, wait a minute. Will your church be one of the issues, etc., 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
How would you like to win the Essential Lutheran Library? Books like Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, Law and Gospel, the Lutheran Service Book, and the Lutheran Book of Prayer, and four more resources. All you have to do is share the Issues Etc. Reformation Week video on your Facebook page and send an email to contest@issuesetc.org. You'll find the video at issuesetc.org and click support. We'll announce the winner of the Essential Lutheran Library on Friday, October 28th.
No weather reports necessary. We broadcast to the world. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Just in time for Reformation Day, Concordia Publishing House has a new graphic novel titled Luther, Echoes of the Hammer. This Luther biography is written and illustrated in a fun, comfortable format. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Or you can purchase Luther, Echoes of the Hammer by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. This new Reformation resource costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. Luther, Echoes of the Hammer, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes of the first hour here, culminating with our picks for Issues Etc. blog of the week. And then in the second hour of the program, Dr. Matt Phillips will join us. We'll start a series on the Great Schism, talking about the prelude to the Great Schism. We've got to go back about 500 years before 1054 to do that. Then Dr. Jonathan Witt will join us. We'll talk about Charles Darwin's response to beauty. Up next, some thoughts on the church year.
I'm calling in regard to the show you did with Pastor Heath Curtis about the church year. First of all, just let me say that I appreciate the context in which it was spoken. It deeply saddens me to see so many churches that are abandoning the church year for really false illusions when it finally boils down to it. However, I would caution that sometimes I get this impression that you speak so strongly for the church year that it becomes across sometimes as if it's written in stone and not adiaphora to use the church year. I had a professor who worded it the best. He said, essentially, when you boil it down to it, the church year is it's an adiaphora, but the better question is, can you replace it with something better? And I think that's the better question to ask. If you set aside the church year, can you do something that is going to be more faithful in delivering and teaching the whole counsel of God's Word? And that's a huge one to wrestle with. A lot of my brothers in the ministry this past summer, they've walked through the Lectio Continua for Romans. priests, and they and their congregations have been very blessed by it. But if you think about it, that's pretty much setting aside the normal themes for the church year. And I would say there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And even if you do use the church year, it's still it's possible to go astray and not preach the whole counsel of God's word. On a practical level, then, I'd throw out just two items of advice then for pastors. One is exegesis. You can't get around it. Who cares if you've done that text study before? Go back and tear apart every single particle using the tools that you were trained with. And then you'll find new stuff. I mean, Jesus' words are true when he said, therefore every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of a storehouse new things as well as old. Very true. And the other bit of advice is for my sermons, if I'm stuck or I want some more options or sometimes some more insights, I just open up the index in the Book of Concord and some dogmaticians as well sometimes. And it's always fascinating to see what they, how they take some of these passages of Scripture and how they apply them. It really kind of opens up some doors that I hadn't thought of before. And in that way, then, the whole goal, then, is to approach and preach and teach the whole counsel of God's word. There it is. Thank you for allowing me to comment. Bye.
Great advice, by the way, on preparing to preach or preparing to teach the Bible in any context. That is, you think you know the passage, go back and look at it again. Remember, you're handling God's word, the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. You cannot, by definition, given the fact that you are a human being, you cannot plumb the depths of that passage. You can't. You will never reach the bottom. You think you know it. You think you've preached it 100 times. You think you understand it. Well, maybe you do, but there's always more there. This is God's word. It comes from the mind of God. And to say, I know that passage. I've done it 100 times. I don't need to look at it again. Is essentially saying you understand God's mind when it comes to that passage. Don't be so presumptuous. Be a servant of God's word rather than its master, and so go back and study it again. Great advice, and it is good advice to read good preachers, not necessarily bad preachers, but good preachers. Now, he mentions the church here. We in no way want to deny that this is something that is neither commanded nor forbidden, but it is, and I agree with the thoughts of his professor that he was paraphrasing. It is irreplaceable. Let's just face it. It is the wisdom of the church that has been distilled over 2,000 years. And anyone who is so arrogant as to think they can improve upon it in their parish is, well, just that. Sadly mistaken and arrogant. You can't improve upon it. Your situation is not so unique that you have to come up with some other thing that will add relevance to God's word to your people. That is, again, just arrogance. This is using the wisdom of the church as it has been handed down to us. That's what it is. Now, with regard to adiaphron, I agree. That's what it is. But that teaching, that it is neither commanded nor forbidden by Scripture, should always be understood in this context. Just because there is more than one right way to do something doesn't mean that there isn't a wrong way, many wrong ways to do the same thing. Many people who tout adiaphron up and down the street all day long in the church seem to think that just because there's more than one right way to do a thing, that there's no wrong way to do it. That is not what the Bible teaches in any way whatsoever. There may be more than one right way to get your church through the Bible, but that doesn't mean there isn't a wrong way. And there is a way that the church has laid out for us in its wisdom that is, I'll say it again, irreplaceable.